Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March the 21st, 2024. Today is Thursday in the fifth week of Lent. This is a reading from Mark chapter 12, verses 38 through 44. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Here ends the reading. What a contrast Jesus offers in this passage. On the one hand, there's the religious elite, sashaying about with their luxurious robes flowing elegantly behind them, respected and admired. On the other hand, there's the poor widow, so downtrodden and downcast by the vicissitudes of life, she is invisible to the society that oppresses her, dropping her insignificant coinage into the offering receptacle. The long-robed people, Jesus says, love all the attention, being greeted reverently in the marketplaces and getting the best seats at all of the premier social events happening around town. And how do all the beautiful religious people finance their fanciness? On the backs of the poor. Meanwhile, the faithful just keep being faithful. And the widow woman, with her two pitiful coins, is the epitome of such faithfulness. As she lets go of the coins, she is putting her entire future into the hands of God. This is a faith so radical that it risks being misunderstood as reckless. I have to say, as a paid religious professional, I'm always a bit nervous when Jesus criticizes the religious establishment. Just the other day, when I was thinking about this passage, I remembered back to when I was first ordained. My black clergy shirts were dark as midnight, and my collars, oh, they were sparkling white. And I wore them everywhere. One day, I was at a clergy gathering, and an older priest eyed me up and down and said, "I hope for your sake that clergy shirt fades and that collar gets dingy, because if you look too polished, no one in this city will trust that you can be trusted." I felt somewhat insulted, but I did my best not to sound defensive. "Why do you say that?" I asked. Unfortunately, my indignation came through in the tone of my voice. "Look," the priest said, "that garb you're wearing isn't a fashion statement. You're wearing black not to stand out, but to remind yourself that you represent the one who bore the weight of sin for the salvation of the world. And that collar is a reminder that you are leashed to the gospel and the church, even when you wish you weren't. In fact, especially when you wish you weren't. As that shirt fades and that collar gets dingy, it will represent the experiences you've had as a priest that have put you in contact with the folks who are so far on the margins they've fallen through the cracks of a loveless world. You're there to remind them that they are still loved by God, and the only way they're going to take you seriously is if it looks like you are willing to be with them in their world. A world that's much more frayed around the edges than that outfit you have on today. After all these years, I can attest that the older priest, God rest his soul, was spot on. I've thought about his words many times through the years, and even though I'm not sure I've always lived up to the charge he gave me on that day, I can say that his perspective continues to inform how I go about my daily work. What that priest was trying to get me to understand is that priesthood isn't something that can be cordoned off from the rest of my life. And with that bit of advice, he was also making me rethink how I understand the life of discipleship that is the call of every follower of Jesus. Faithful discipleship isn't about giving Jesus what's left over of us after all of the rest of our lives have been sorted. It's not about getting everything situated in the rest of our life and then giving Jesus the 30 minutes or an hour we've got left at the end of the week. In this way, the widow in Mark is an icon of prioritizing God over everything else. The widow's gift was her testimony that she utterly depended upon God. Her generosity is greater than the value of the coins because she literally had nothing left to give. That widow calls me to account for every time, she calls me to account every time I read her story. Her wordless sermon challenges me to examine my own life for the places where I'm still trying to hold on, grip tightly, as it were, to autonomy and control. My suspicion is that I'm not the only 21st century follower of Jesus who struggles with the sort of faith we see in the widow's selfless offering. We're all works in progress, and God's grace is sufficient even when we fail to live up to our best intentions. Thankfully, as I've mentioned before a few times during this Lenten season, there is always an opportunity to begin again. There's no time like the present to start, and maybe all it takes is letting go of the things we've been desperately holding on to. And in letting go, we may realize how it was those very things that were holding us back in the first place. Let us pray. O God, you have called us to be your children and have promised that those who suffer with Christ will be heirs with him of your glory. Arm us with such trust in him that we may ask no rest from his demands and have no fear in his service. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.